Welcome back to another episode of the Huxley Morton podcast, the show where each week we speak to pharma company owners and industry leaders sharing their stories of personal and professional growth. We're now on series four of the show, and as you may already be aware, we're on a mission to help clinical researchers from around the world with tips, tricks, and inspiration. So if you could do me a quick favor and please hit that follow or subscribe button, it really does help more than you'll ever know. Once again, Adam Walker is alongside me, so sit back, relax, and we'll take things from here. We are joined by Dozy Mbunu, founder and CEO at Janarex Eco-Friendly Fungi. Dozy, that is not how I normally pronounce fungi myself here in the UK, but look, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing well. A lot of interesting things taking place, and it's just been an interesting start to the new year.
Fantastic. Dozy, I've given you a bit of an intro there, but if you can give us an overview as to who you are and what Janarex is all about as a business.
Yeah, thank you. I've been on this this global journey that just started out just from a passion of having a love for a game. Game of basketball, and then it's put me in a position and taking me all around the world and giving me these opportunities, learning about business, learning about science, learning about how the way the world operates in different industries and forums. And it's given me this global perspective, and it's brought me here now where I started this Janarex Eco-Friendly Fungi, which was a startup company and still is 10 years ago. Now I'm into year nine. So I started this venture, pitched my my relative, who is my aunt, Dr. Carol Janarex, 9 years ago about the world now talking about sustainability and organic and organic farming and ag tech. And it was just from doing market research. I was living in Europe at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was just following market trends just on my computer and cell phone, and came and pitched her about, I believe, the product that she had created that the world now could utilize it. And I set sail here, got us into a business accelerator, then a business incubator, did these phenomenal first of its kind trials in farms, on soils, protected lands, with dealing with degradation, abandoned coal mines. And then we just tested on all these cash crops around the world and here in regular soils, poor soils. And I set my sights on the trials, and we hit a home run. And that's how we get here.
Just a bit more about the product itself and how it works, its properties, and what that's all about in terms of, the grassroots of it all.
Yeah, so these are beneficial fungi that grow in practically any soil. They're called mycorrhizal fungi, and let's just refer to them as beneficial fungi. Mm-hmm. And they're in all soils around the world. And my aunt, what she was able to do is make an inoculant out of one in particular strain called Senecococcum geophyllum, and we'll just refer to that as CG. Mm-hmm. And that one trial, just her getting a grant for $50,000 to just create what she had discovered. Mm-hmm. And I came and took these samples, and here, let me give you an example. I'll show you while we're here live, that this is what it was that she created. This is one of the samples. And if you see here, it has a shelf life. I don't know if you can see that up close.
I can't see that, but for anyone tuning in, look, Dozy is holding up a tub at the moment. We can see the fungi inside the tub there.
So I'm assuming those are the spores, are they? Are they the spores pre-growth?
So anything that's in the black is a fungal spore. The white is perlite.
Gotcha.
And this was manufactured in, actually, it was manufactured in March of 2001.
Mm-hmm.
So figure how long ago, the shelf life, 21 years ago.
Wow.
Yes.
So look, where does, I guess, in terms of the links of this, Dozy, because I note when I reached out to yourself, you know, I was seeing cannabis entrepreneurs, CBD was the lines that I was looking at. But where does this fit into place with that? And what's the goal of the business?
So here you have the fungi inside. And what we did is I set sail on trials for organic, non-GMO, and natural, eco-friendly grown anything.
Mm-hmm.
And we tested it on cash crops. We tested it on fruit trees. And then we tested it on cannabis. And one day, Dr. Janaret, she just said to me, there was a program on television. I think it was 60 Minutes or 2020. And they were talking about this emerging cannabis industry. And she just leaned up in her chair and said, she sure would love to try her product on the cannabis plant. And I was able to position us into some cannabis trials. And what we unlocked in what the growth of the plant, the extra mass, and the qualities within the plant, it actually brought out extra cannabinoids, some of the a list of mother cannabinoids, so the precursors to things such as THC and CBD and all these other new cannabinoids that we're learning about, it brought out the mother cannabinoids in the plant.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about and you talk about natural, organic, anything, we learn through the fruits and the vegetable trials that the fungus will enhance the nutrient content of whatever particular fruiting body that is produced from naturally growing just with this beneficial fungus. And we found the same thing to be true in the cannabis plant, whether it was THC or the hemp plant, we found the same to be true. And then we understood after doing further research that this type of natural plant grown in this way is what is targeted also by the now emerging biopharmaceutical industry.
Dozy, I just want to jump in and just clarify for our audience and our listeners. I don't believe that what you're purporting to provide is supporting an illicit drug trade, is it? What we're talking about is the therapeutic impacts of cannabis hemp related medications, of which there are many and multiple uses. And you described about the impact of THC. That's of course the active compound in cannabis that gets people high, but also I'm familiar with the fact that in CBD oils and strains from hemp, you have all sorts of other properties that are found to be helpful in sports people, in people experiencing anxiety and depression and various other components of that. And there are numerous companies now that are looking for access into markets to provide therapeutic influence for, you know, antipsychotics, multiple sclerosis victims, people suffering from multiple sclerosis, I should say, and various other components. Have I understood that correctly? I just want to just be clear for our audience as well.
Absolutely. This is all about health and wellness.
Yes.
And now, because of they descheduled cannabis internationally to allow, in terms of to allow for research now. And now all the studies are starting to appear. And now recently you've come out with studies from the University of Oregon and these studies around the globe now that are, there's one study that came out of London recently and one that was pulled up from 3 years ago targeting cancer research and how they can now target certain elements from the cannabis plant for specific blockers, inhibitors within specific cellular makeups. Yes. And now they're looking at that in terms of things such as radiation, rather than killing off live cells, they can now target specific cells that are just the damaged cells. And, yes. And new breakthroughs are coming through every day. Recent studies now about inflammation is a big one.
That's huge. I mean, it's huge. Yeah. And that's why so many people are so engaged with the CBD story, yes. because inflammation is reduced, but also, you know, anecdotally, people are talking about improved sleep, yes. reduced anxiety, as I say, and in impacts into the endocannabinoid system that have been known for many centuries and many thousands of years, but actually no one's acted upon them because Absolutely. There is this whole issue around the fact that it's, you know, cannabis related, and there is a whole discussion to be had around whether or not, you know, decriminalizing those types of drugs actually keeps it off the streets, or, you know, in certain parts of certain parts and states of the US, I know that there is it's allowed to be purchased, but also in Europe as well, we have certain areas, but in the UK, I know Sativex has been prescribed for people with multiple sclerosis by a pharmaceutical company in the UK, and it's having great results.
Massive results. Actually, when I spent, because I built these companies in Europe. I was living in Cyprus for 19 years. And
I was gonna say, on that, those in terms of your background, because it's not necessarily a traditional one for someone to get into this space. you know, I know that you and I have spoken off air, but if you could share a bit about your background and what you were up to pre, you know, trying to be a cannabis entrepreneur and doing what you're doing and chasing that vision now. Give us a bit of an insight as to what you were up to previously and this, life that you spent in Europe and overseas. Wow.
Well, it all came from just a love of basketball. And the game brought me to the university I attended. It gave me a career internationally that brought me to Europe and allowed me to be in Europe for 19 years. I was naturalized in Cyprus at the age of 30. And I was coming off of a very severe foot injury. And everything worked out.
What level were you playing? Was it Olympics? Was it professional? What, you know, just so that I've got an idea as to where you sat on the basketball stage, as it may be.
It was professional. I played for Nigeria's national team when I was 28.
Wow!
And that team was the first men's national team to play in a world championship, and that was in Greece. And that was an interesting learning curve because that was my introduction to Nigeria. Because I grew up in the USA and was born in the USA. And then fast forward 2 years after I retire from playing professional basketball and 10 years from the age of 30 to 40 in Cyprus, I end up as the general manager of the men's basketball team, national team. And when I received that opportunity, I had 8 months to qualify for the Olympics in London in 2012. And we were able to plan it out and we were successful. And That's we amazing. Actually qualified for the last bid to London, actually.
I don't know what's more amazing, the fact that you've done all those things, or you actually look like you're about 20.
Well, let me knock on wood because I'm 51. And
you
I'm
look amazing, wow. Let me tell you. For those not watching this on YouTube, my goodness, you look so well. So sports clearly been very good for you.
Well, it actually, that experience really helped me tap into a lot of the health and wellness, because living in an island such as Cyprus, I mean, you have that Mediterranean, wonderful Mediterranean food and the cultural side, and then you have the atmosphere, and it's 8-9 months of summer weather, and then you don't see snow unless you go into the mountains. So living that life, it really helped me tap into a lot of my health and wellness. And then coming back here, and in the past 6 years, diving and learning about, you know, organic agriculture actively. I spent 9 months on an Amish farm in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, learning about their organic micro farming legacy practices and techniques, and, you know, come away with all this wealth of knowledge, help save that company, brought in investment.
How business looked in the early days, you were kind of just a student at work, basically. You were kind of getting in the thick of things, on the, you know, boots on the ground, really just trying to suck it all up and learn about the industry and what you were trying to do.
Just being a sponge and having that openness and willingness to just roll my sleeves up and get my hands dirty and, you know, learn about the soils and different types of soils and what is there, what's lacking, or what might be needed, or what's best for such as a medicinal plant such as hemp or THC cannabis. It's just learning these new things, I've been able to sponge a lot of information, and I'm very thankful daily for having the exposure, the access, and then the people willing who are able to teach me certain things and show me certain things, that knowing things to look forward to. Even Dr. Janaret passing along her knowledge, I end up learning from the best, you know. And it turned out that her products that were sitting idle turned out to be this beautiful thing, and it opened up all these new doors. And just being here for this journey and this ride, it's a continuation of the things I've been able to experience from the past. And now this whole new door has opened up, where the industry now is making these new leaps and bounds. I just was reading about France, you know, lowering and thinking, getting into the research and medicinal parts of the plant, and places such as Malta legalizing in Europe, in reading about what's going on in Germany, what's going on in Portugal, even London, England, the research that's taking place.
I don't think we'll be that far behind in the UK.
Yeah.
But I also wondered if, you know, what was it you studied at high school and college? Did you have a scientific background, or has this all been acquired through doing your knowledge?
Well, in high school, I did receive an award from the Pennsylvania Chemical Society for excellence in chemistry. And I went and studied a class pre-freshman at Lehigh University, which is my alma mater, and then decided to pursue the liberal arts track. And I took the Bachelor of Arts. I didn't take the Bachelor of Science. And I wanted to learn more about myself, and the curriculum I took in college was more towards the social sciences.
Yeah.
And I'm very fortunate and happy for that, because that opened up my eyes about the studying of societies, communities, the study of people. And just coincidentally, serendipitously, divinely, while being on this global international journey, I was able to take those lessons and apply them in each and every situation and environment that I ended up in. And I was able to do the same when I came back to America And then this whole cannabis industry, just that one question from Dr. Janaret opened up this whole new Pandora's box. And now with the results and what inspired Forbes to write the article 2 years ago, based upon just one of our trials.
Tell us about the article, Dozy. I wasn't aware of this. So what, there's a Forbes article on yourself and the product and Dr. Janaret?
Yeah, dealing about the cannabis industry. If you type my name, it should be one of the first five articles that comes up. And
give us a quick insight into that. So this product had kind of gone, it'd been sitting dormant for so many years. You've gone on this international journey, playing basketball, kind of found yourself, found the need for medicinal input from this, realized that it could be something worth pursuing. You've gone out there, you've kind of been a sponge to soak up some market information. And then how did it go from that to you then being kind of a feature on Forbes? That's kind of the piece that I want to know. Like, where did that come from?
How do we do that? Wow. How do we get the Huxley Morton on Forbes? Hey.
There isn't even a blueprint for this. I was doing trials. I met someone who was a former regulator in Denver, Colorado, of all places, who just happened to be from Pennsylvania. And struck up a conversation. I hit the conference circuit, the speaking circuit. I was asked to speak at conferences. I did this until the pandemic hit. And even I did virtual, the Pennsylvania Hemp Summit virtually. And it's just from doing all of this circuit and getting out there and putting myself out there and exposing myself and becoming vulnerable, I end up within this conversation and with this regulator, she wanted to try the product. So I just sent her, she came, visited at the laboratories here that I have, and I gave her a jar of about that much product. And I told her what to do with it. And we agreed to share the data and the information, and she was able to get it tested.
Wow. So how did that go? What did the results look like? What was the feedback that you got at that time? And more to the point, how did you feel about that after kind of, talking about your journey and it going undiscovered for so long?
When I received the result, and it was a comparative from the plants grown normally with normal cultivation techniques, utilizing chemicals and other fertilizers.
Compost and peats, presumably, something like that.
Yeah, and we just used Dr. J's fungi in the seed, and it was grown from seed. And when I saw the comparative and the difference in the cannabinoid profile, and then from the pie chart, it was the difference in the max cannabinoid, and it was also the difference in the pie charts. And you saw the normal grown cultivated plant versus the plant grown with just one teaspoon of Dr. J's fungi.
So it sounds like you got a broader spectrum of cannabinoids than you would have done otherwise in growing in a peat compost or some other composition.
Yes, the broad spectrum and then the quantities. And then once we saw the difference in the health of the plant and the color, it just brought out this evergreen qualities, and we were working with a highly medicinal strain, blue cheese, and that for medicinal purposes. So when it brought back all of these mother cannabinoids with that medicinal strain, and then all I did, I took those results and I shared them with a few strategic people in the cannabis industry just to get their feedback. And every time the feedback was just, oh my goodness. And I'll share it with you, James and Adam. It got to Forbes, and once they saw it, they said, this is it. And that's what I've been sitting on for 2 years.
Wow.
Just waiting for the right situations to come by. I have turned away hundreds of millions of dollars because of the intentions. The people who came with the intentions did not align with what we were trying to achieve.
And that was where we first started, wasn't it? You know,
exactly.
There's two routes to market. One is the black market and one is the opposite. And by the sounds of it, you know, you're a good guy, and you're for the path of good rather than the path of the dark side. And that's good to hear, but that's what I'm hearing. Am I correct in that?
Yes, and even from the legal side, because if from studying the industry, and that's from just straight coming into the industry, wanting to learn and having patience, we've seen the industry move up and down, and now it's on a down curve because of things that are going on in the world.
Yeah.
Politics, you name it, all has a factor in this emerging industry. And then now you come and from being patient, I've been able to sit back and watch it all unfold, but also now able to watch the market and predict certain things that are coming along. Even from predicting the rise of how much now it costs to purchase and cultivate with all these the chemicals that are used in cannabis cultivation. They have now doubled and tripled.
Mm-hmm. Please tell me that you have a patent to this, Dozier.
We have a patent that has expired. And now, because of these new things that we unlocked in cannabis, the whole patent journey now, it's this open door to all the things that we can now claim just in the cannabis industry. And I'm so glad that Dr. Janaret, and with my mother's investment back then, that she was able to protect the patents back.
Yep. Yep.
Now it comes down to the trade secrets that she was also able to protect that out there in this space.
It's a remarkable story. It reminds me almost of the Louis Pasteur type serendipity of what happened, or Marie Curie. You know, that's what it reminds me of from the history of medicine.
Serendipity of life.
Yeah.
And it was just from putting the pieces to a jigsaw puzzle together. That's how I equate everything to how it all came to be at this point in time. And I just gave the letter to the incubator. We're exiting. So we're exiting at the end of this month. And I've spent those 9 months on the farm. And in 2018, during if you recall, that was the very wet summer where it was extremely challenging in the cannabis industry in terms of the issues with powdery mildew and all the blights and diseases that came about. And then the conversation around climate change and its effects on the industry. It's all as if this storm came in a microcosm, and we were sitting here waiting with the solutions,
mm-hmm.
just based upon putting in the work and rolling the sleeves up and going out to these organic farms and hand planning and doing the trials with my hands myself.
It's amazing. It's amazing as you describe that, because whilst you're talking about it, I'm just thinking about the potential implications for improving yields on general vegetables, plantations, fruit, all of the things that we're challenged with, as you say, with climate change and with environmental pollution.
Yes. And now from reading some of the markets, things now are focused based upon that, which you just said, Adam. exactly. on the last mile of delivery now. How sustainable can we make the last mile in terms of production, manufacturing, delivery, fuel, everything now being tracked? It all matters.
Absolutely.
And that's what we've been up to, identifying all those areas where, besides what we can do with the plant of any type of vegetation, but also in how it is delivered to the end user, the customer, whether it be a food bank, the supermarkets and the supply chain now, which has become exasperated now, this whole issue of supply chain and delays. And now we're concentrating on that last mile. And if we can do things such as enable the local, you know, suppliers, the local growers, and then the delivery already prearranged to the food banks, the food companies, such as things like Aramex, Sodexo, how they get their products strategically located, and the supermarkets in the regions, in the counties, in the municipalities. If we proactively map all of this out, it has an impact upon where I tie in now the social sciences on the impact of communities, families, the overall health and wellness of the families begins to increase and take some of this pressure off of the health insurance companies, because they have been, this pandemic has just overly stressed our healthcare system, our healthcare providers, our insurance providers took huge losses due to all of this. And then it brought out the need that everyone really needs to really address their personal health and wellness.
Sure.
Holistic.
And look, I guess with that in mind then, look, what are the plans kind of beyond these next steps? Are you going to be looking to get into more medicinal clinical trials in terms of a setting? Have you got a time span in mind for those sort of things? And what's the team around yourself and Generates looking like? If you could kind of paint a picture as to, yeah, how it's going and where you are looking kind of beyond that in terms of getting into the clinical trial space, getting into, yeah, kind of more a broader range of medicines, et cetera.
Yeah. Thank you. Because actually, James and Adam, your podcast is the second one I've done in the last month that pertained around the biopharma, you know, pharmaceuticals and the natural pharmaceuticals. And that's where we see where things are headed now, because people are now asking questions. Well, where does this medicine come from? What is it derived from? What is the impact on my overall health and wellness, which things now, which are really starting to be tracked through metrics. You know, here at the university, they just opened up this new College of Health, and it's all about tracking populational health by zip codes.
You're talking about real world data, real world evidence.
Absolutely.
Something that I speak about extensively. It's
in real time.
Everything that we do, everything is trackable.
Yes.
In the nature of the palm of our hand, in the phones that we use, but also in the fact that our medical records are fully visible, accessible, and there is a real-time component to that whereby regulators, healthcare providers, biopharmaceutical companies can see an outcome to the action.
Yes.
And this is when we talk about inflammation,
yes,
inflammatory responses, reduced stress, anxiety, quality of life measures, all of those things are components that absolutely are pivotal to clinical research, clinical trials, drug development. And
Absolutely.
I think that connects the dots between those two, as you say, James.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Mental health, wellness, and awareness, because getting human beings to talk about things such as mental health, which were previous taboo subjects, just such as cannabis was, and now they're finding tie-ins, as you just said, Adam, to it all.
It's all connected.
It all matters.
Everything is connected and everything matters. And, you know, yes. James has done a great job over the last few months. You know, he's been opening up that conversation about mental health. We've done a number of podcasts together on the subject because it is so integral to all the conversations that we're having. But that social piece, the social science piece that you described as much as the actual science, the two are so interrelated and interconnected.
Absolutely.
And you've absolutely, I think, spoken to that point so brilliantly.
Thank you. And if it wasn't for sports, I wouldn't have the tie-in. And the more I dove into the research, which is now leading us into conversations regarding clinical trials, utilizing our product to produce the plant-based medicines or to test or the plant-based legalized even for cannabis, medical cannabis patients.
How big do you think that will be, Dozy, in the sports world? I guess, you know, I'm from a sporting background, much as yourself. I see that, you know, even now when I, you know, seeing any CBD products, I see all over Instagram, you know, people jumping on this kind of new bandwagon as it is at the moment. How big do you think it's going to be? I see it being pretty huge.
Huge for athletes and former athletes, no matter what level. There's always damage. Muscles, tissues, joints, bones, tendons. It's about the healing, the repair, the recovery. How fast can your muscles or your body recover? And what you're seeing with me is I'm my own person utilizing, I'm a medical cannabis patient based upon, I was an athlete for a long time. And then I had these two unfortunate rear end car accidents and brought me to nerve damage and other things, daily neuropathy and all the way down to my toes. So what I have gone through, I see it as a huge benefit for athletes and with the recovery, the inflammation, the repair of the damage that just from playing any sport or any physical activity, even bike riding, it takes a toll on parts of your body.
There's the physical fitness and recovery.
Yes.
Then there's also that mental.
The mental.
And recovery as well.
So on my desk at the moment, I've got some CBD gummies, okay?
Here we go. You're right.
I take CBD oil morning and evening and CBD gummies and CBD drinks, none of which contain any THC, but I have been using those for about 3 years now. Dozy, to your point. And that's why this was so fascinating for me, because from a personal point of view, I've experienced all those things that you've described, the inflammatory reduction, the general well-being, the sleep, the recovery, anything physical. I also suffer from lower back pain and I've had extensive issues in and around not sporting endeavor of a high level to you know, NBA type level, but certainly, you know, as James would describe, you know, lots of physical activity in my 40-odd years. So I'm a real proponent for them as well, because I think they're fabulous. And also James makes mention of the fact that it's everywhere. It is, because there are loads and loads of, certainly in the UK at the moment, there are loads of former sports stars or people who are now putting this at the front of the conversation and are recognizing their own benefits of using CBD-related products.
To repair, to heal, to feel well.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen some things happen with people I've just seen who have worked hard their entire lives, retired, and because of their physical work, have arthritis. And I've seen them take CBD in terms of gummies or a tincture, not necessarily lighting or smoking anything.
Nope.
And I've seen them just move and feel as if they are 20 or 30 years old again.
And I think that that's the understanding that that needs to happen, is just that this isn't cannabis. This is different, you know. Yes. And the means of getting this into your body are very different.
Yes.
And there is a whole different conversation in education that needs to happen for the general population. I tell as many people as I come into contact with the benefits that I've experienced personally. I'd spoke to James about this a long time ago, actually. Yes. Mm. And I'm delighted that we're having the opportunity to speak to you, Dozy, because you're really, really driving the needle of the conversation.
Thank you. I mean, I encourage clinical trials. Once I saw that it was headed towards this for the cannabis industry, for CBD and these other new cannabinoids that I'm reading and learning about, CBG for the same things, the research, the inflammatory, they're finding it has potential with cancer, CBN, all these new cannabinoids, because there are over 100 cannabinoids. So we're just learning and discovering what these things can do and the benefits of them for human beings.
And dare I say, it's natural. It's
yes.
natural. It's not chemically induced.
Yes.
And this is key. And it's also why sometimes the conversation is a different conversation, because there is a natural component to it. And actually, it's a whole different conversation, isn't it?
Absolutely. And that's where it tied into with our product, Dr. J's Fungi, because no matter what this product touches, once it touches it, it remains natural. No matter if it's a seed, a clone, a cutting, it doesn't matter. All it has to do is touch that product.
Wow.
If the root tap, the crown of that root, any part of that root touches our product, and you only need one teaspoon per seed, seedling, or clone. So imagine about the sustainability impact of, and it liquid. So we've learned through our trials, and one of the questions, will it fit into standardized farming equipment? And yes, it does. And we proved it. So it's granular, it's malleable. And it fits in everything that we've tested it on to try and find the weakness. We have yet to find it, as of yet.
Well, hopefully, Dozy, that success continues. Hopefully, yeah, it's sooner rather than later that you can get it into clinical studies, clinical trials, and we can start looking at some further benefits of this. And look, we will certainly follow that journey. But look, before we let you get off, look, we always finish up the show with a quick fire question round. Yes. So look, I'll kick us off here, because in future, if this does blow up as you're hoping, and you know, people, it sounds like people have been throwing money at you as it is already, but look, hopefully you can get the right backers and go down
That's
the right route,
it's
and it, and it does, you know, kick off. But look, to rewind, what would you say is the one piece of advice that you would give to your younger self?
One piece of advice that I give to my younger self is, don't be as naive about your outlook about the world.
I like it. We've not had that one before, Adam. We've not had that one.
It's a new
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
Definitely a new one. Go on.
My outlook about the world, even when I was coming out of college, it pales in comparison about this journey and the way I see the world now.
Wouldn't we all wish to have the wisdom that we have in
yes,
our current
indeed.
Life, in our
yes,
younger
indeed.
Self? That's really, I think, what you're describing, because I certainly would have loved that.
And, you know, and for a fortunate human being who has been on this priceless journey around the world to really have gotten to see it on all these different continents, it's just, yeah, that outlook as a 21, 22-year-old, I was just naive.
When you think you know it all, this
yes.
is the thing, isn't it? When you think you've seen and yes. done it all, you know nothing.
Nothing. I was so wet behind the ears in my thinking that I'm so fortunate that I've gotten to this point where I can see it and see it all clearly and know what's out here and what is really possible. And just say to that younger self, stay vulnerable, don't ever be closed-minded, and always be open to new learnings.
Excellent answer. So we always ask the number one book or resource that our guests are using or would recommend to our wider audience. And I'd love to hear what you have to say around that, Dozy.
Well, my book reading has been more foundational books, things that from books I read in elementary school towards development. You know, Animal Farm, George Orwell, 1984. I always refer back to that lessons in that book because he talked about what's things that are going on now.
Didn't he, Josh? I also studied them at school.
Yeah, those
and your social science.
Yeah,
to
those
that,
traditional,
it?
You know, Uncle Mark Twain, Uncle Tom's Cabin, those type of books. But now, for me, and what brought me on this part of the journey, there's a treasure trove of information out here in this, what they're calling now venturing into the metaverse, but this worldwide web of learning, this open source. And if you can funnel through the things that aren't real, because there's a lot of things that aren't reality out there. But if you can zero in and home in on the real subjects of things that are taking place in true data subjects and things that matter to your passions, you can unlock a treasure trove of information. You can almost nowadays get to anybody in around this world.
Indeed. So you're kind of listing the web as a whole, but being focused and, you know, kind of seeing the wood through the trees with that one. I was kind of expecting you, Dozy, to list something like Mulligan Brothers from YouTube. So anything motivational, because on LinkedIn, I see about 10 motivational posts from you a day at the moment. So I was expecting that, but
I love this market research journey. That's what it is. I'm reading in the wee hours of the morning. My bedtime gets earlier and then I'm up when it's so quiet and I'm just reading away at all the current events, the subjects and the areas of things such as biopharmaceuticals and what's the latest and the updates and even politics. You know, I'm an independent, but I follow because it matters as to what is about to take place, and it helps me to predict what's coming, the future of the industries. And that's how I was able to just sponge everything and learn about business systems. And that's how I'm able to help businesses and our business and now the cannabis industry and agriculture industry unlock new things that now the industry is actually asking for and begging for. So it's timing, it's luck, it's everything, having intuition, just following your heart, your gut, and then the rest comes down to three basic things that I just preach every day to interns, students, common sense, common logic, and common knowledge. If you stick with these basic principles,
you beat me to it there, Dozy. I was just about to ask you what three qualities you would value most or preach to, you know, anyone when you're building a team. But that's what you would list, is it? Kind of common sense, common logic. And what was the third one there?
Common knowledge.
Common knowledge.
Yes, because there's a lot of different types of knowledge out there. But the common one, the basics, the fundamentals, is where in the simplicity of the fundamentals of knowledge is where I've been able to unlock these special things that now people are asking for. And it's a leap of faith, entrepreneurialism, and how it leads you and it tests you in all kinds of ways, but you learn so much about yourself and the rest of the world. And that's why I'm just smiling now, because the journey and going through these things, and it wasn't easy, but we're sitting here with an outlook that looks very promising and very helpful for people, for communities. And it's, I think these things, and I believe, and I know that these things can help a lot of people. And that's the most rewarding part. We're here. We're also here to, you know, further along science, further along things for humanity. And that's what these are: sustainable solutions. They're organic, eco-friendly. They hit all the check boxes, and we've put the work in. That's it. We've put the work in.
It's brilliant just listening to you, Dosey. You're reminding me of so many things that are pinging all over the place. I'm seeing Will Smith playing you in your life story. This is, as you're talking, I'm actually seeing him do this.
Hey, we're both born in West Philadelphia. I'm born and raised.
That's who you remind me of so much as I'm listening to you. It's incredible. I just had to say that because that comes from the heart.
Thank you.
I know you've talked about sport, you've talked about all sorts of passions, but what is your favorite thing outside of work? What is it that you, how do you down tools and enjoy yourself outside of work?
You know, nowadays it's just becoming, I've become this basketball fan. I want to go to live basketball events. I cheer, and some of my friends will look at me and say, "Are you this loud?" And I was like, "Yeah, this is what being a fan is about. Like, I want to be this great fan now. And I want to appreciate, and not just basketball. In Europe, I found this new love again for soccer, for football. And most people don't know is when I was on this journey building, doing that sports management, I had some contracts with some premier soccer league clubs and your headquarter Premier League office. And that's another story for another time.
That's awesome. Yeah. Funnily enough, I was only just speaking to James before we came on air about this weekend. Yeah. I'm going to see, my team is Brighton and Hove Albion, and they're playing Liverpool, you know, the likely first or second place in the Premier League this season.
Yeah. And that,
what a team.
What you have there in England, in the United Kingdom, is a whole culture of its own. And that's what I have just tapped into. Just, I want to be this fan that learns, you know, everywhere sports is portrayed and received differently. And I was able to learn how different cultures perceive sports. And I just want to just continue to enjoy, you know, that natural euphoria that sports gives you. And when you see other people achieving things, as in Olympics, it's a feeling that it's hard to describe. Attending that Olympics in London was something that just opened my eyes to a whole new world. And it's as if I'm chasing that euphoria all the time in anything that I'm doing now. And it just shows you that anything is possible. And I apply those same things now into biotechnology and organic farming and sustainability and just being this huge sports fan now and just wanting to see people succeed and have fun.
Amazing stuff. Well, look, I guess throughout our conversation, I feel like you've touched on so many points of my next question already anyway. But look, I'll put it to you, Dosey. And I'm just trying to now see through this Will Smith image that Adam has planted into my mind. And now I just can't unsee it or unhear it. Cheers, Adam.
What am I telling you?
But look, finally, to wrap up the show, look, what would you say is your number one golden rule for both life and business, if you were to wrap it up in a quick summary?
Yeah, now this is a good one. I have a couple of principles with this. And the biggest things are, one, respect comes first. You have to respect people in order to gain respect. Number two, honesty, transparency, authenticity, integrity, huge things, fair business practices, fair manufacturing practices. I learned that if you take care of these things on the front end, you can sleep so much better and you live a much better quality of life on the back end. You don't have to deal with all those headaches later on. So amazing. Just being proactive in those things has really helped me as a now as a way of life, just as a way of being. And people are now telling me that it shows. I was balding some years ago, I think just some stressors in life, and through these amazing discoveries, these natural plant discoveries, and using myself as my own patient in the discovery and journey, I've just unlocked this whole new lease on life. Some people are telling me I look like I'm getting younger. It's the journey. And I'm just enjoying this journey on those principles that I spoke about.
Amazing. Well, look, you keep going with it all, Dozy. It's clearly working. Before we let you jump off, look, for anyone that is looking to reach out to you, whether it is, you know, investors, it sounds like you've had a lot of people trying to invest or, you know, back the product already. But for anyone else who is interested, what is the best way to get a hold of you, whether it's a website, LinkedIn?
Look, right now I took a deep dive into LinkedIn. If someone wants to, really get a hold of me, they would follow on LinkedIn. I'm easily accessible. Messages, that's how we get connected. And mm-hmm. It's just saw some things that are of similar interest. LinkedIn, I'm starting to dive heavily and tie it into Twitter because of the real time. I love to engage. I spend a lot of time doing this research. So unless I'm at a game or with some friends at a game, LinkedIn now for me is just, I see so many benefits in its future, the delivery of information, how we can connect with people in our similar industries of interest. And that's the best way, LinkedIn. Perfect.
Well, for anyone tuning in, we'll make sure that Dozy's profile and links to that are posted along with the show. I'm sure you can grab him on LinkedIn. That's where you and I connected, Dozy. That's where me and Adam connected. As a business, yes. We do so much work through LinkedIn these days, and the platform has just gone through the roof last couple of years. It's unbelievable. Oh, my goodness. I agree with you there, but look, thank you so much for being a part of the Huxley Morton
Thank you guys.
And sharing your story.
Thank you guys. And my regards to the UK. I missed that place. I had a lot of fun there. Look forward to coming back.
It's been a great conversation. Thanks, Dozy.